So we're in a, this is part three, musical instruments in the Bible. And this one, as we just saw, the het, so sarah, trumpet. And this study will look at another wind instrument called the hetzosera, which is a trumpet. Below is the strongest number for this word in the verses that we'll find it in. H 2689, and we're going to focus around Numbers 10, which is the first verse 2, which is the first verse that it's mentioned. The hetzosera, a different musical instrument than the shofar, is mentioned 29 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. Hetzoseras were trumpets that were straight, narrow, and quite long, possibly 0.9 meters or 2.9 feet. They were constructed out of silver or gold, had a flared end, and produced a high, shrill tone like we just heard. This type of trumpet was used to signal the Israelites when they wandered the wilderness for 40 years to assemble and break camp. It was an important part of temple worship and considered one of the sacred utensils. The hetzosera was blown on new moons and other festive occasions, as well as at the temple's daily offerings. So very integrated into the culture. I'll start our study off with the first time that the word is used, hetzosera, in the Bible, which is found in Numbers 10, verse 2. And look at the surrounding verses that will bring out the spiritual meaning of what the hetzosera trumpet signifies for the body of Christ today. So here's the probably the central part of the study right here, this verse, Numbers 10, verse 2. Make you two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes which are heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. The last words in Numbers 10:10, I am the Lord your God, is what the previous verses are all pointing to. As we learn that Christ is the Lord your God, Christ is the true witness in our lives, the two silver trumpets, that's the witness, that become that way in the lives of God's elect as a result of their being able to hear the voice of the true shepherd and be led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14. When we clearly hear the sound of the trumpet of Christ's voice, we are hearing the message that we are being judged in this age. That judgment produces direction in our lives that glorifies God and gives us victory over our enemies in the land that represent our bodies. In verse 8, we learn that it is Aaron's sons, representing the elect, who blow the trumpets, telling the congregation to assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Being assembled at the door is typical of coming before Christ as our high priest, who is the door, which we read of in John 10 and Revelation 3. Numbers 10:10, which we read, also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. 1 Corinthians 14:8, and we mentioned this last week. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. So we know we're in a battle, and we hear what the Lord has called us unto. And I know them, and they follow me into battle, spiritual battle. I am the door, John 10:9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him, and he with me. And that's when you put these two verses together, this is the point. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. When we are blessed to hear the voice of the true shepherd and not despise his leading us unto repentance, which is what Romans 2:4, we'll look at that quickly. Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, and not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. When we do that, let me read that again. When we're blessed to hear the voice of the true shepherd and not despise his leading us unto repentance, then we see that we are connected to the whole body. A whole piece shalt thou make them. That's the silver. Can our repentance make the two trumpets of silver that God leads us unto, makes us zealous for the congregation, to provoke each other unto love and good works, which is what these words signify, that you may use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. 2 Corinthians 7:11, for behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. This is the direction I was talking about. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. And that's what Christ can do. Because if you just couple that verse with the thought that Christ goes into the temple and he takes that cord, that threefold cord that we talk about, he takes the cord and he binds it and he goes in and he drives everything out of the temple. And we know the temple of God, of course, is us. We are that temple that he's cleansing, and he's zealous for us. He's zealously doing that work for us as a body of Christ. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Silver trumpets are blown, in other words. This journeying of the camps of those who are hearing the trumpets blown of Aaron's sons is all symbolic language that represent how God's elect are to be led by the Spirit of God today in order to overcome in this age. When we mortify the deeds of the flesh and bring our bodies into subjection unto Christ, we are fulfilling the typical example of those actions in this verse. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. And Romans 12:1 says, present yourselves. And you all know this verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, the goodness of God, the mercy, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14-16, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again the fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And, you know, it's interesting when you read that and think about Christ fearing the Father, in that he was hurt, he feared. So fear toward God, not toward men, and not toward what men can do to our flesh, but fear toward God, that's the right fear. Godly fear that moves us forward and takes us in a direction of overcoming. and God will give us the strength to overcome. As long as we're casting our cares upon him, confessing our faults, moving forward, knowing that he's working all of that. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. 1 John 2:15-17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. The enemy that oppresses us in our land represents the powers and principalities that we fight against, that only Christ is far higher than and able to overcome. All Israel needed to do was blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies, telling us that all we need to do is confess our faults, represented by the blowing of the silver trumpets. Then we will be remembered of the Lord, and you shall be saved from your enemies. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In high, Aperonius, I think is the word. We're in a battle that there's no way we could win unless the Lord wins the battle for us, unless he fights it for us. Ephesians 1:21-23. Look at the parallel there. You've got principalities and powers in Ephesians 6:12. Then in Ephesians 1:21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, which means there's more work to be done. That's what that's telling us. And if we're granted to overcome and bring those powers and principalities into subjection in our own lives now, then we will have that rulership role in the future. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Leviticus 26:40-42. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them. So you have to acknowledge, and God has to bring us to that point, that you were being chastened and scourged of the Lord. And that's a miracle to recognize. No, I was getting my comeuppance. The Father was chastening me. He was scourging me. And instead of hardening my heart, as he did with Pharaoh, and that's all God's call. If he's going to help us soften our hearts and bring us to repentance, that's the greatest gift that can happen to us in this age. And that I also have walked contrary unto them, and I've brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishments of their iniquity, and God knows our breaking point, whether we will or won't. So this is not a choice and something that's going to go one way or the other. It's going to go the way the Lord wants it to go, of course. Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, which shows us that in order to get there, there's a process. And with those three names, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will remember the land. And of course, God will, because he's going to save all men. We know that all men will be saved, each man in his order. Psalms 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah. John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. the heads of thousands, which we know 10 times 10 times 10, that's the process of judgment on the flesh, represents the leadership roles that God has ordained in the body of Christ in order to help bring the entire body of Christ, typified by the camp of Israel, into subjection unto him, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This happens through a lifelong process of having our life judged. So that's why we have those three tens, which adds up to 1,000. In Numbers 10:5, the movement of the camp is from the east part that shall go forward. And this is mentioned first as our spiritual journey or sojourn begins on the right foot when Christ, the morning star, is rising in our hearts and shining forth from the east to the west, as he works in us both to will and to do of God's good pleasure. Then in Numbers 10, verse 6, we read of the alarm being blown a second time to tell the camps in the south to take their journeys. Moving from the south is not possible without the first alarm being blown that tells the camp from the east to move forward. Israel moved in many directions as a congregation, obviously, but the point being shown here is for our edification. The Israel of God, who we are, Galatians 6:16, moving forward and overcoming in this life is accomplished by our being judged of God, who is going to destroy the man of perdition on the throne of our hearts, so that we take our direction from Christ and not operate in the flesh. When we are in subjection to our head, we are able to go where the Lord directs us. We will obey God rather than men, in other words. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Titus 2, and how is that done? Well, this is how it's done. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So it's that word paiduo. Grace teaches us, it chastens us to forsake ungodliness and worldly lusts. And that's the miracle of our calling. If we're being saved in this age, we're being received of God through that lifetime of correction. And it is done mercifully. God knows our breaking point. He knows what we need to learn, and he's caused it all. It's all his workmanship. Pardon me. These two verses, verses 5 and 6 of chapter 10, discuss the only way we can move forward spiritually in this life, represented by the south, that only moves after that symbolic judgment begins, as the eastern camp that moves forward after hearing the silver trumpet. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. So that's how the congregation moved. And those were the rules of the road, so to speak, to teach us something spiritual. When all the congregation is gathered together, a trumpet is blown, but no alarm is mentioned being blown in Numbers 10, verse 7, telling us that although we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, there must be times when we are not in the thick of the battle, but given rest and prepared together as a congregation of saints to prepare for future battles. So it's a lifelong battle, but there is mercy and there's preparation happening all the time. Every conference I've ever gone to has refreshed the body of Christ and been followed by some large to great trial or a series of trials, individually or collectively even. Lord willing, this refreshing of the saints that is coming up in November in Mobile will be more great preparation for ruling over the kingdoms of this world, within first, of course, but also to the end that we can see Revelation 11:15 fulfilled, where it says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord, his Christ. and he shall reign forever and ever. That time will come soon enough, and God will not tarry, which is what Hebrews tells us, whether this is the season that it occurs or not. And then the saints will begin to fulfill the role spoken of in Numbers 10:4. So when we have come and learned and gone full circle and been brought into subjection unto Christ as the body of Christ, to the extent that God has ordained, then we'll have this role as kings and priests to be blowing those trumpets and directing the world through the thousand-year reign. And then, of course, in the lake of fire or the great white throne judgment. 2 Corinthians 7:11, for behold, the self-same thing that you sought after. I won't read that because we read it again. And maybe Hebrews 10, verses 37 and 38. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So when we hear those trumpets, and if we didn't respond to them, that would be drawing back. But that's, we're convinced of better things of each other. We see what the Lord's done. We know he's merciful. We know the end of the Lord is merciful, even in our trials, even in our correction. God is very tender-hearted and merciful. Getting back to the, and I might add that he puts our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west. So that's very significant too, when we talk about this camp moving from east to west. Getting back to the instruments themselves, these beaten out long and straight silver instruments, which is all significant, that were blown to tell the camp of Israel that they needed to move, represent the elect, who have been worked with by God's grace and through the faith of Jesus Christ. And I think we read Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. To what end? For by grace, God's favor is expressed through that process. Are you saved through faith? He'll give you the faith to endure the trials, to go through it. And that none of yourselves, it's his faith. It's the faith of Christ. It is the gift of God. And the message that we blow at that time is the same as John the Baptist, to make straight the ways of the Lord. We blow that message today, but it'll be blown during the thousand-year reign, that symbolic period. The message is loud and clear, and with the flared end of the trumpet, the sound is further amplified to define how the gospel will be preached far and wide to all nations as a witness. Then shall the end come. It is first clearly and properly heard, however, only in the hearts and minds of those who God has ordained to have eyes to see, that see, and ears that hear in this generation. John 1, verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, that straight silver trumpet, as said the prophet Isaiah. Numbers 10, verse 2, make the two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. Matthew 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 13, verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. They hear that trumpet, that understanding of judgment and grace. In verse 10, we see more of an example of how the silver trumpets, the Hatzlosera, are incorporated in our walk with the Lord. Numbers 10:10. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. We see here that there are also festive occasions connected with a trumpet, where we are brought into remembrance of God's great deliverance from the enemies within our lands, which we have seen represent the bondage that sin brings. This liberty that God gives us through Christ is the day of your gladness, and spoken of as being in your solemn days, reminding us that there is a season for all things, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. It is also in the beginnings of your months that the trumpet is blown, showing us that when we come into this relationship with our Father in Christ and one another, it is a lifelong journey that has a beginning, middle, and end, that we pray we will be able to endure through and unto. So there's the words, the solemn days, H3259 from that, the word, the actual number is H4150 from H3259, an appointment, festival, assembly, and then place of meeting. So that solemnity, you know, it's better to be in the house of mourning than in the house of mirth, is what it's telling us, because we're dying daily. We're in a house where we're examining ourselves. We're dying daily. We're bringing our thoughts into subjection unto Christ. We see the need to do that. We recognize that this life has to be introspective. With Christ in us, he makes us that way. He blesses us so that we continue to look carefully to each other, to the body of Christ, and build each other up in love with his love, which is obedience. All of that saying the same thing. So there's a soberness there, but there's also a joy, because when we live a life like that, there's reason to rejoice, because we know there's something in front of us. There's a future, and we're not laboring in vain. So we're going somewhere. We're being directed by Christ into life. Beginning is H7218, and the word is Rosh, from an unused root, apparently meaning to shake the head, as most easily shaken, whether literally or figuratively. Beginning, that's the point I want to make first, forefront, head, and lead, principle. So that's what God has called us to be that, to be leaders, to be rulers, to be kings, to be priests. And that can only happen, of course, as a result of going through that process of judgment. Ecclesiastes 3:4, I read this, but a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13. And because, and if we pair up, I would like to add that verse, Philippians 3:9. Later on, we'll do it, because this is the narrowness of our, it's certain God will get us there. There's no doubt about it. But he says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So if we look at Philippians 3:9, now we discussed this verse, but it really sits well against these verses. And it says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And God protects that faith within the body of Christ. The gates of hell won't prevail against that faith, that righteousness of Christ. That's what God is protecting as a witness to the world that we were his disciples, blessed to endure unto the end. If that is what he had intended to do, that is what he will do. Pardon me. We blow the trumpets. I got to take a sip. Sorry about that. We blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. Actions that bring us into remembrance of how our sovereign God and Father has given us the life of Christ through his Spirit. So, and Spirit, remember, wind blowing through the trumpet, so that we can be nourished by the burnt offerings and peace offerings, because God's Spirit is going out over those things and they're being consumed by Christ in us. So God the Father has given us the life of Christ through his Spirit so that we can be nourished by the burnt offerings and peace offerings that Christ and his Christ represent. That rich life of Christ within us, who is our sufficiency. And it's your rich life. And I say, all of us, we are that burnt offering together. We are that peace offering together. With the life in Christ within us, our trials, our struggles nourish the body. So it's a very, very intimate collective experience that we're going through as a body of Christ. It's all of us. We're each joint supplying through that process. And that's why we have this imagery of the two witnesses, you know, the two trumpets blowing over the sacrifices, the peace offering and the burnt offering. That rich life of Christ within us, who is our sufficiency, comes to us through a lifetime of overcoming and confessing our faults, which is symbolized by the blowing of silver trumpets over these offerings, both burnt and peace. Numbers 10, verse 10, I think we read it, but I'll read it again. Also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, not our wisdom, but the power of God, which comes as a gift of God. Romans 10, verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the silver trumpets being blown. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the next two wind instruments, the keren, which is a cornet, and the mesh rocky, which is a flute. The following week, I plan to look at the shofar, which I think is probably going to be more than one study, probably, but we'll see, which is called a cornet or trumpet in modern language. So those are the verses there, and at your convenience, you can read that. But I just want to read that last part about the shofar, which is kind of interesting to look forward to. The shofar is mentioned more than any other musical instrument in the Bible. It is the only instrument that survives in its original form that is still used in modern Jewish liturgy. It was usually made from the curved horn of a ram or goat. Shofars announced the new moons and Sabbaths. Psalms 81, verse 3. Warned of approaching danger and signaled the death of nobility. And that's our study. Thank you all for coming out.